In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the second Sunday in Lent is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Thus far the text. This is such a great, humbling text that reveals what happens in the life of a Christian. Namely, that faith will go through a life and death struggle before God. Even more so, that God is the one bringing faith through the struggle. From this text, faith is to receive from God's word the exhortation that nothing, not even the torments of the world, your sinful flesh, the devil, and impeding death itself, should ever keep you from calling upon God in prayer. And yet there's another nothing that should never stop you. It's the fact that God can and does reply to some prayers, with his answer being no, or wait. This is clearly demonstrated through the words of the Holy Gospel text. Not only once, but a number of times. The Canaanite woman comes to the Lord pleading for her daughter, who is caught in the clutches of Satan. She cries out the Kyrie, just as the blind man on the side of the road, just as numerous other examples strewn through the Holy Scriptures. She prays, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Very great understanding regarding the word mercy. Mercy, in its Latin use, is tied directly to the use, to the Latin use of the word misery. When we cry out for the Lord to have mercy, we're asking him to have mercy on our misery. What is causing our misery? Sin is always the cause of our misery. The Canaanite woman confesses Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah. She knows who he is. Like the blind man, she must have heard of him and was brought to believe through that hearing. Just like the blind man, she is a better student than the disciples. Yet among her anguish and prayer to the Lord, he answers her not a word. The devil will certainly not miss his opportunity to capitalize on such a terrible situation. When it seems as though the Lord is not answering you, Satan will, without a doubt, bring to you the needling thoughts of disbelief toward God, trying to sink you ever deeper into the darkness of this, his fallen world, trying to lead you into unbelief. But the Canaanite woman, she still clings to Christ. Her prayer does not stop. Faith tells her that Jesus is the stronger one who has come to recreate, to reorder creation. He is the one who can defeat, who has defeated what has a hold of her daughter. Like Jacob, she holds God to his promises. She holds him to his word. Even the disciples grow weary of her Kyrie and urge our Lord to answer her prayer and send her away. She's an embarrassment. But there is another obstacle. She's not ethnically pure. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. An even more difficult situation under the circumstance, for it means that she is not of Abraham's seed, and therefore she's an outsider, having no right to ask for help. But she pleads anyway. Then, in one of the harshest sayings to ever pass his lips, our Lord brutally declares, "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Wow. Even more seeming refusal. Christ is nowhere else pictured as pitiless as this in this gospel text. Most would be set aback by these words. They would give up hope and stop petitioning the Lord in prayer, revealing themselves to be the rocky soil of which the word falls and doesn't take root. But not the Canaanite woman. Through this, the Lord is tilling the soil, getting rid of the rocks, and strengthening faith. She continues to follow the Lord, falling at his feet, as pictured in the icon of our bulletin. The word of God is taking deeper root because it is being trusted no matter what is thrown at her. Yet again, the Kyrie comes forth. Lord, help me. Why would she need help unless she was in misery? And yet again, another blow comes her way from the Lord. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He calls her a dog. A dog. Can you believe such language is used in the Holy Scripture? Such slurs, such political incorrectness, such law. And there's a key understanding. Our Lord is delivering the law in all its sternness. This is very necessary, though, for without the law, there is no gospel. And without the gospel, there is no salvation. The law reflects the truth that she is not worthy to ask for the things for which she prays. Neither has she deserved them. So here then comes the brutal truth to your ears. Our Lord is not only speaking to the Canaanite woman, he is speaking to you, O sinner. He is essentially saying, I am God, and I will answer prayer in my time and in my ways. And if it seems like he's taking a long time to answer, he's God. He doesn't owe you anything. In this ever-growing entitlement society, you cannot argue the right to be seated at his table. Instead, you're beggars, dogs, and so may you remain. For you're in the position that God's word determines you to be. The common response to such words is, well, that's just too harsh. I cannot have the law bring me down that low. I don't want to be made out to be a beggar. Better than that. But in so doing, in such a response, in such a rejection of God's law, it's the demons who will rejoice at anyone who rejects God and his whole counsel to bring about belief. That's one way of responding to the law. The other is, but there is another, and it's in this way that there is rejoicing before the angels in heaven. It's when God's word brings you to repent of yourselves and believe the gospel. Repentance is the confession of faith that what God's word has to say about you is true. Confession has two parts. First, that you confess your sins. The law is true and it reveals you to be a sinner. It is valid and it is good. God's word interprets you. You don't interpret God's word. So as God's word says you are a dog, then so be it. Let the response be just as the Canaanite woman who doesn't argue with the Lord, but instead gets defined by him and responds, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Thus she catches Christ in his own words. And here's the wonderful part of faith that pleases the Lord Almighty. He desires to be caught in his words, because then it's his word at work, creating, sustaining, and strengthening faith, both his law and his gospel. In preaching on this text, Luther writes it this way. He writes regarding the Canaanite woman. "Very well," she says, "if I am a dog, I ask no more than a dog's rights. I am not a child, nor am I of Abraham's seed. But you are a rich Lord, and you set a lavish table. Give your children the bread and a place at the table. I do not wish that. Let me merely, like a dog, pick up the crumbs under the table." Did you hear the second half of confession? Trust in God's mercy. It's receiving whatever he has to give. And what does he have to give? What is the second part of confession? Receiving holy absolution. God's rod and his staff, his law and his gospel, they do comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with the waters of holy baptism, and your cup, not the cup of wrath which Jesus drank in his crucifixion for you, but your cup is the cup that his merits earned. Your cup is the cup of the forgiveness of your sins, and that cup runneth over. As much as it might seem that our gospel text is full of dejection, Christ Jesus was not tormenting and certainly not tempting the Canaanite woman. And he doesn't you either. This event in history was inspired to be written so that you would see a beautiful example of faith, and how it needs to be practiced and strengthened. As Luther says, prayer is an exercise of faith. This is an example teaching your God-generated faith to be as Jacob and the Canaanite woman, holding on to the Lord and not letting go, holding him to his words, living and praying by the surety of God's word and not by appearances. Your mercies are new unto you every morning, because God Almighty already knows what you need before you ask. And the answer has already been a resounding yes, because the answer is always Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome all things that could ever overcome you, because he has conquered the world, your flesh, the devil, death, and hell through his crucifixion and resurrection for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ, through whom you also have access by faith into this grace in which you stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but you also glory in your sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because your hope gained the victory on a hill named Calvary. Your hope was raised high through a crucifixion to draw all men unto himself. Your hope cried out the answer to all prayers. It is finished. That hope, that sure and certain hope, continues to be delivered through the crumbs of his body, so that you would live by his grace alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.